Radio.
It's time to get stuffed. She's the queen of mean, she can't be tamed. Larger than life with a tiny frame. Sit back, relax, and loosen up. It's Lisa Lampanelli and you're gonna get stuffed.
Lisa Lampanelli.
Hello, everybody. You're welcome. Guess who's back again with Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli? It's me, Amy Schumer. Just kidding. It's Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. So who else do you think it's fucking going to be? Yeah, Lisa Lampanelli. And who's sitting by my side or across the room so I really don't have to be next to him is my unpaid co-host, Mike Morse.
I can vouch for her. It is her.
Yes, and he also can vouch for the fact that he's unpaid. Today, we are going to be talking about something that Mike rarely does, which is stress me out. Because he does his job. He comes in here. He's prepared. He's a professional. He brings a fart noise machine. What else can one ask for? There has to be the person in your life with a fart noise machine. Okay, I don't even know whose fart that is, but that guy's pretty constipated. I gotta say that. It almost sounded like a cartoon character going, wah, 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 what? But honestly, today we're going to talk about stress. Because everyone... he's fucking bitching and moaning about how stressed out they are, especially now that the craziness in the world is happening and it's been the worst year of our lives and wah, wah, fucking wah. Shut up. Shut up, I tell you. Shut up. Stop talking about your stress and do something about it. Take some action. Mike.
Yes.
I'm not stressed and can I tell you why?
I can tell.
Well, here's the thing. I've done a lot of these retreats. Mm-hmm. They talk about this meditation, this yoga. I went on a yoga retreat once. I thought it was a frozen yogurt retreat. That's how they tricked me. So I go in there and yoga is happening around me. I said, what is this going on? Learn nothing.
I don't see you as the yogurt type.
I am not a yogurt type. I learned after a week that yoga is just something that gay guys invented to learn to suck their own cock for themselves. However... what they did do was teach me a few little lessons. See, they call this yoga off the mat, which means, yeah, there's people who could twist themselves into a pretzel, sweat, and get molested in a yoga class, which, you know, I guess is the goal is to get molested, especially if you're taking it from Harvey Weinstein. However, people get that on the mat, meaning that, oh, that's like the yoga practice. They talk about yoga off the mat, which is to take the principles of yoga and apply them to your life. That's the only thing I've ever found I can do. Now, yes, I sound like I'm a big mouth, I'm this and that. I do believe in certain tenets, and I don't mean people who live with you, if you're Mexican, 12 of you in one room. Tenets, T-E-N-E-T-S, look it up, it's a word, of the yoga practice. So while I'm not sitting there doing yoga, I do believe that, you know, balance. I do believe in that everything's going to turn out the way it's supposed to, et cetera, and all that bullshit that I pretend not to believe in, but actually do. Go ahead, Mike. I sent you up a question. You didn't even have to open your mouth. I just sense it. See how less stressed I am? Just, I can read people's minds from this.
You are plugged into the universe.
I certainly am.
I was just going to say, I like the way Maharishi Lampanelli sounds.
Yes, yes. See, that's me. I may appear to be a stressed out person, but I think for the most part, inside, I don't have that angst that a lot of people have because
but you did.
Mike! Oh, when I was crazy and going insane. And I had a million things were driving me nuts. Anyone who saw me on The Apprentice or anyone who saw me on some of these talk shows, I look like a mental patient because you just go off and you go crazy. Now it could be part of the act, part of the podcast, but it doesn't have to be part of my life. I don't have to walk around having stress dreams and grinding my teeth and then yelling at the guy on the street because he didn't pick up his dog shit. Although, you know, that's a real fucked up thing, if I may say for 1 minute.
That I think you're allowed to get pissed about.
Right. Hey, Mike, this is how freaking calm I am and at peace. One day, I was taking Parker and myself to Connecticut to the compound, the Lampanelli compound. I'm walking him at 5 in the morning to get to the car. 5. It's dark out, completely dark, nobody around in the city. he poops on the street. Didn't even have a tissue with me. I said, Lisa, guess what's going to happen? It's going to end up some little old man is going to come by because I live near a hospital. He's going to slip, die, and then who's responsible? Not me, Parker. Parker will have the universe shun him.
He does not deserve it.
I know. So guess what I did? I drove around that block with tissues in hand, picked up that dog shit and took that dog shit to Connecticut because God forbid there was a freaking garbage can on my block. I mean, what does it not look cute enough for the Upper East Side? And I threw that dog shit away. Guess what? I bet then I don't fall and break a hip. I believe in this karmic stuff, which I think is a big part of stress reduction. You go, if I do the right thing, the universe is going to do the right thing for me.
Well, you knew the only thing worse than dying is dying with dog shit on your shoe.
Oh, the worst. Yeah. The worst. You know what? Oddly enough, if an old lady had been in my mind falling, I wouldn't have been that upset. But I thought, oh, a little old man. You know, we always go to that, you know? So, like, for instance, like, if there's something, like, say, a crack in the sidewalk that someone could trip over, I never think, oh, my God, a little kid could get hurt. I go, a little doggy could get hurt. So you got to go to whatever the hell's in your head that actually makes you have sympathy and empathy for the universe, which to me is definitely not old ladies, because who gives a shit?
Or kids.
Yeah, or kids, forget it. Die, all of yous. But seriously, the stress part of life, it could kill you. Mm-hmm. There's many symptoms of stress, physical, emotional. You torture yourself. You've heard about this, Mike.
Yes, and I knew we were doing this, and because I didn't want to be stressed out and not knowing what to talk about,
true.
I researched, and here's some of the things that stress can cause. Migraine headaches.
Okay. Oh, I have friends with migraines, and I'll tell you, I'll never have one because I said, what's wrong with you girls? Smoke pot instead. Just kidding. I'm not a pot smoker. But yet migraines, from what I hear, are horrible. Have you ever had one?
No, but they just incapacitate you, I guess.
Yeah, you literally are laying there and you're dizzy and you can't even function. Mike, want to know why it's dawning on me why you don't have any stress? You got nothing to do.
I got no work.
You sit around and you make fucking lists.
That's it. It's the ideal. Except for the money thing.
It's the ideal
situation.
Mike has the perfect life. He has a breadwinner wife. He has a creative outlet for all his whatever. I'm putting creative in quotes because if you call this creative, you're out of your fucking mind. But he has this life where you go, you know what? I'm fine.
Everything's good.
You don't
Hakuna
worry.
Matata.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Always learn from a cartoon boar. That's what I think. It's true, though. Okay, so migraines, thank God I never had those.
Right, which, you know, they are the best excuse, though. To get out of stuff, right?
Dude, that and one's period or lady time.
Well, I don't have that option.
Not yet.
No, I'm working.
You never know. You might hit menopause. But yeah, I remember in the old days, when you call in sick and you used to tell your male boss, because of course, bosses should always be men, as you know, because men are much more calm and mature.
As God intended.
As Harvey Weinstein intended. It's so funny to have a male boss and you say, lady time. Oh, okay, call me when you're feeling better. 2 months later, you come back in the office.
Yeah, that was a heavy flow.
Yeah. And speaking of another good excuse, what's number two on that list?
Diarrhea.
Oh, if you get stressed and have diarrhea, that's got to be the most unfortunate day of your life.
Yeah.
Because not only are you shitting your pants, see, it adds to the stress.
Right.
Oh, my God. These things compile stress upon stress. Right. So what else?
You can get colds or other sicknesses.
Yeah, I don't buy that one. No, I do, of course. Because it really does weaken your immune system.
Right. Insomnia, of course.
Yep.
That's a big one. I get that.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I do have occasional stress.
I don't even understand that. You have two kids. They're fine. She's going to end up a stripper. He's going to end up retarded. It's okay. I mean, he's already... That's wrong. He's already retarded.
You put it that way, I feel much better. Weight gain, which is...
That is the truth. That's what I blame most of my weight gain on all my life. Because as we've said before on this show, you don't eat because you're hungry physically usually. You don't eat because you love food. You eat because you want to get rid of feelings. Feelings equal stress if they're bad feelings. Boom, suddenly you're a fat fuck with a podcast. Come on.
Dun, dun.
But enough about Ralphie May.
All right, chronic back pain.
Oh, God. I agree with that because I find it really interesting. I had 4 car accidents. 4 in my 20s. Isn't it interesting those aches only kind of flare up when I'm stressed out.
Really?
And what am I, stupid? Why don't I put two and two together? Mm-hmm. I say to myself, Lisa, it's this stress. Stop stressing out. No matter how much of that crap you rub on yourself, the Bengay, as it were, the bio freezes, don't work.
No.
Get your stress level under control. Sorry, I had a hard time with that last syllable.
Well, here's a nasty one. Pimples.
Oh, I've heard about that. Yeah. I've been lucky enough, Mike, to always have the skin of a baby's ass. And by that, I mean that I've had a baby's ass transplanted onto my face so I appear youthful. But that's one symptom, thank God, I never had. But can you imagine? You're a poor kid. You're stressed out in your teens. You're worried about the SATs and the PSATs mm-hmm. and the getting into the colleges, which, by the way, kids, if you're listening, don't go to college. Total waste of time. It's so stupid. Unless you have a real goal. And don't have a goal. Have the goal of Mike Morris and Lisa Lampanelli. Goallessness is good.
Maharishi Lampanelli has spoken.
Yes. And then you're stuck with pimples, too?
Yeah.
I say watch 13 Reasons Why on Netflix and learn how to kill yourself.
Right. And what's a great stress reliever? Sex. What? How can you not get sex? Having
pimples.
And wake and being fat and with fat. Pimples and shit in your pants.
I think we've noticed that stress makes you a triple threat.
Yeah. And cold sores, too, which is not on this list. But that stress causes cold sores, which are the worst.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Oh, my God. See, this, I think stress is no good.
We're getting stressed reading this.
Yeah, I am, really. What else? Is there anything else?
Memory loss.
Oh, boy. Well, that's not a good one to discuss with me.
It's harder to get pregnant.
Uh-huh.
Which is a plus.
That's kind of good for me.
Yeah.
Well, not me at this age, but me years ago.
Yeah.
Because I said to myself after menopause, I said, boy, is this freeing. However, I never wanted kids. Mm-hmm. So I said, why does this God in the heavens above curse me with this damn monthly shit from age of, 12 on? Wow. For I got 40 years of bleeding for nothing. I would have had a hysterectomy at 12 if my mother had been responsible.
Now, since you knew you didn't want kids, were you super careful or did you ever get a little...
Well, I had a little pregnancy scare once. It was with my black boyfriend and mm-hmm. I told my brother and he said, wow, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Just kidding. That joke should not be on the podcast, but it will be because people, if they're listening to this, know that Lisa Lampanelli has a sense of humor. Well, the few pregnancy scares I had... I got lucky enough mm-hmm. that I didn't have to go the full route with mm-hmm. with the wire hanger.
Okay.
But I would now if I could.
You should go back just in case.
If I could turn back time, as Cher said, another woman who's had many unwanted pregnancies, including Chaz Bono.
and there you go. That's
See, now that's the thing about stress. In all seriousness, physical, emotional harm. People on these normal health podcasts are going to tell you, take up a practice, meditation, prayer, breathing. Do you know how hard breathing is? People say you could take 10 deep breaths, take 3 breaths, do these different types of breaths where you hold one nostril closed and you breathe out one and in the other. Listen, I've tried all of it. Can I tell you people what works? And I'm not kidding. So write this one down. Take action. I have never found a practice that works for me, and this is just me, mm-hmm. other than take action. I will give you an example. Last week, very stressful week, we had a cast member drop out of StuffedPlay.com due to illness.
Ouch.
StuffedPlay.com, fantastic show. Go to see it. Rave reviews, even though it hasn't been reviewed yet. Go to StuffedPlay.com for tickets. But seriously, cast member drop out, she's ill. You can't get mad at it.
Right.
You know,
migraines, right?
That's so funny. Weight gain, chronic pimples. No, she dropped out due to chronic pimples. Yeah. No. And the thing is, it was an amicable parting for a change in my life. You know, because I'm starting to part amicably instead of be mad at them. People have limitations. They get sick for a week during rehearsals and then they can't catch up. What am I going to get mad? But no, of course, there's a stress of, oh my God, finding a new actress who's that good and figuring this out. On top of that, Mike, I drive up to my house in Connecticut, and I'm not kidding. There is a fucking monstrosity that has been erected since I moved in. Excuse me, since the last time I was at the house. Next door, they have built an enormous outdoor kitchen with a roof. And it blocks my view. I bought a house on the water. to have a view. Do you know that my stress reducer used to be sitting at the house looking out at the water, and now I don't have that. So, of course, I'm upset and anxious because, Mike, literally, you would laugh if you saw the pictures because I'm like, this is ridiculous. Right. Like, it's almost a joke.
Now you sit there and watch them make Eggs Benedict.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm going, all right, we got that. So, it's killing me that I bought this freaking house and now it's got a freaking monstrosity of a shed or whatever the hell it is with a pergola. A pergola. I go over to complain about it and it's not even a pagoda. I go, is that named pagoda? I don't know what that thing is called. But so those two huge things happen. Then, of course, a press interview that was supposed to be huge for the star who had to drop out dropped it through. So, and it was our biggest press interview. So I go, I'm so stressed. I found, again, the grinding of the teeth at night, the not insomnia. I fall asleep, but then I wake up with a huge headache because of this grinding of teeth. So I wake up and I go, what are those gay ass fucking breathing things those people at Kropalo told me to do? Deserts me. I can't remember. That's so memory loss is on that list
right,
of stress.
Boom, right there.
I think I have all of these. So before I shit my pants, guess what I did? I honestly, this is no joke. I said, you're going to take action. You're going to make a list of possible cast members because it has to fit a physical type and an acting type. Then you're going to get that casting agent on the phone despite it being 6 a.m. Fuck him. Because if I'm having stress, you're having stress. Get and do your job. We're paying you. So, yeah, because it's all his fault, right? Then
trickle down.
Find out the guy at Town Hall who you ask about if they were allowed to build something that big because there are rules and they needed permits, which they didn't get. So do that. Do you know the second I called that guy, even leaving a message for him that I knew he probably wouldn't call back, but I would then put in my book, okay, 3 o'clock, call again. The minute I did it, the teeth stop grinding because you have to talk. You can't grind your teeth during it. That headache gets a little less. The back pain gets a little less. The second I send the email to casting, the second I follow up with the people at the press office. Yeah, they can wake up at 6 too. Mike.
Yeah.
It's not just casting's problem. It's my problem and theirs. It's honestly the only thing I've really found is to have plan A, B, C, and D all the way down to Z and do it. And that's the only thing I found. So people, don't think out there you're a failure if you can't meditate. If you haven't figured out, oh, which yoga pose gets my freaking chakras in line. Don't feel like you're a failure if you can't meditate. I've never been able to do a fucking guided imagery bullshit in my life. They'll say, picture your happiest place. Guess where my happiest place is? Not in this fucking meditation class. I'm not going to picture the ocean. Because especially now, because my fucking house is ruined.
Picture a kitchen.
Because some asshole ruined my ocean view. The only thing I've been able to do is have a action-based plan that helps me figure out that I'm going to let it go. That's the second part of my stress reduction, Mike, is that this is one important thing I learned at this Kropalo. They asked in a class one day, if you knew everything was going to turn out all right, and they didn't say perfect, they said all right, how would you feel and act? Mike, once you decide that you know in your heart that, okay, things are going to turn out the way the universe wants, things are going to turn out the way I need it to turn out, not want it to turn out, need it to turn out, then it's going to be okay. And you can let go a lot of the stress. So the minute I said, okay, I've put together my list of potential cast members, but we're going to get the girl we're supposed to get. It may not be the most famous girl in the world, but it might be someone who's so dynamic and amazing that the whole show is made better. The minute you settle with, if you knew the universe was going to work out, then you would not have that stress and you wouldn't be clenched up all the time and shitting your pants and having diarrhea and having a pimple that prevents you from getting some pussy.
Wow.
See? So my two important takeaways from this are this. Take action, you fucking fags.
Right.
Don't go around and thinking you're going to sit in a room with a guru and then they're going to not even molest you for fun and you're just going to have to meditate and picture your fucking beach with the pergola or the pagoda or the Abe Vigoda sitting there. Have yourself a plan. Do it. Be practical plus spiritual. That's what you do. Practicality plus spirituality.
Well, you're not putting yourself in the victim's
That's what it is.
Position. You're even if it doesn't work out, at least you're trying to fix
something. You're trying to fix it.
So you feel better
about
it.
And then, by the way, it is going to work out. But I know what you're saying. Even if it doesn't work out the way you want. Sure, for my play, who would I love to have replace this cast member?
Me?
There's someone. No, not you in a wig and a dress and a fat suit. I, of course, would love someone super famous. Who wouldn't like Kirstie Alley? Who wouldn't like Lainey Kazan? If they're not available, the universe sends me the person it's supposed to. But it's not going to send that person to me without me taking action first.
Right.
So I know it's going to work out. And guess what? By the end of the fucking week, we have a great cast member who, by the way, is a major theater actress who is fucking nailing it. The press interview that we lost came back because we have a great new cast member. Plus, hello, Lisa Lampanelli. I am enough. Mm-hmm. And third, I'll never see that ocean view again. But Mike, due to my lessened stress, I don't need to look at the ocean.
Well, you know what? Here's what you do. Here's my advice is use this as a catalyst to work even harder than you do.
Yes.
And the play is going to be a huge success. It'll be made into a major motion picture. Yes. You take that money, buy that fucking house.
I'm telling you. And I will pergola up his fucking asshole is what I'll do. Now, listen, Mike. When we come back, I think we've said all we can about stress because I know nothing. No, I think I've been very enlightening for these people. Remember, do what I say, not what I do. Mm. Wait, no, I do and say the same thing.
Right.
At least in this instance.
Do it all.
Yeah, do all this shit and then get back to me. Call me later, guys. I'll talk to you later in 5 minutes. No, we are going to come back. I have a very special guest. This person. Was with me during the most stressful part of my life, second most stressful part of my life. Now is a very stressful part, but my most second favorite stressful moment was the Celebrity Apprentice with our now president, Donald Trump. Luckily, he wasn't president at the time, or we wouldn't have had this show experience. My special guest is Clay Aiken, who, by the way, this fuck resurfaces every 3 years and says, hi. I don't know what it is about me that he don't want to hang out with all the time, but occasionally he'll deem it, oh, maybe I'll just get in touch with Lisa. I have nothing to do today. Well, the fuck resurfaces. And I said, well, we're doing a podcast about stress and nothing was more stressful than The Apprentice. And you are coming on it to talk to me, bitch.
This is going to be great. He's like a cicada in your life. Every 3 years, he crawls out and you hear the buzzing.
Listen, I don't hear buzzing. I hear chirping from this guy. He's a fabulous singer. As you know, Clay is the runner-up of all time. He enjoys coming in second. He loved coming in second on American Idol. Who the fuck is Ruben Studdard? Nobody cares. Nah. He enjoyed coming in second on The Apprentice.
Right.
Who cares about Arsenio? Nothing. Nope. Who cares? Ooh, nobody knows. But Clay Aiken is enduring. He is fantastic. He deems me his friend once every 3 years. And he's here when we come back. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli shall return.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Lisa Lampanelli. And you know what? Once a month, I get something in the mail. And I almost jump out of my skin and know it's not my monthly hormone medication because of menopause. It is actually a little gift for my little doggy Parker from BarkBox, the best subscription service ever. Every single month through BarkBox, Parker gets 4 to 6 natural treats and super fun toys that people who actually care about dogs curate each and every month for dogs of every size. You tell the people at BarkBox how big your dog is, whether it's tiny, medium, or huge, and they will put you on whatever you like, a 1, 6, or 12 month plan. And every single month that you choose, you will get a box of doggy treats and toys specially selected for your size pooch. I honestly see the BarkBox label and I start barking. I'm not freaking kidding you. You would think I'm so queer, but I don't even care. Because a gift for my dog is a gift for me. Every month, BarkBox handpicks the best all-natural treats, innovative toys, things I've never seen on shelves, but I'm bound to see more and more because BarkBox makes them more available that matches your dog's unique needs. They'll take your dog's allergies into account. They make sure that all edible products are made in the USA and Canada, and 100% of their products are tested on animals. Get it? Their own. I got it because I'm a dog lover, and if you are, you're an idiot. Oh, that was my personality sneaking back in. But if you don't get BarkBox, that means you're an idiot and hate your dog. It is a great way to try tons of treats and toys from local and small businesses that you may have not otherwise been able to find. Every month, the box is themed. They're so cute. There's a, I remember his New Orleans, oh my God, I remember his Mardi Gras toys. It was a little mask for him. He looked so cute when they sent him the little Brooklyn hipster outfit. I died. Yes, I was ashamed and embarrassed that I wanted to wear it, but it fit him perfectly. There was a country fair theme, a bark ball theme, get it? Like baseball. I honestly cannot tell you how excited I get every month when this comes. The dogs are engaged with the toys. They're interested. They're happy. And honestly, if you're going to neglect your dog and leave him every day, it might as well be with something good like this. If your dog doesn't like something in the box, BarkBox will send you something they'll love for free because they are all about your dog being happy. And there's free shipping on any BarkBox within the continental U.S. Continental U.S., that's 48 states. The other two don't count. So if you're from the 48 contiguous states, as a big word is, get the BarkBox. Shipping is free. We have a special offer for my listeners only. The listeners of Get Stuffed can get one free extra month of BarkBox at BarkBox.com. To receive a month free, go to BarkBox.com/stuffed. Again, BarkBox.com/stuffed for your free extra month. Do it today, people. Your dog will thank you, but not in words. He will thank you by not shitting on that carpet for a change, because God damn it, that's what you deserve.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Welcome back.
Hello, everybody. I'm back, Lisa Lampanelli with Get Stuffed, the fabulous podcast. We're talking today about stress, and nobody knows stress like someone who's been through an ordeal with President Trump. Now, there's a thing nowadays, Mike has told me, called President Trump disorder, but we had this before anyone else did because we dealt with him one-on-one in the boardroom every day for 16 weeks. And by the way, I still don't know what that hair is, if it's orange cotton candy or a ferret with the tail wrapped around. But the guy I'm speaking about is my good friend, at least once every 3 years.
Bullshit.
You're so famous. Okay,
first of all, I saw you at your show, which is phenomenal.
Wait, when is he actually came to see Stuffed and he actually liked it.
No, I liked it a lot.
Thank you.
And was impressed because I don't really have high standards for you.
I'm not smart.
No. So I was very, very impressed by it. But after the show, you came up to me and said, oh my God, when's the last time we saw each other? It was like Raleigh back in the day. Bitch, I saw you last year.
When?
We did Chelsea Lately to talk about...
Well, yes, but I didn't talk about count this. That as a social outing. Oh. I mean, I felt that was like, oh, we both had a press stop,
we were in each other's presence.
Though. Well, you know what's good, though? I do know that you do keep in touch with me by text, and I actually...
And you don't always respond,
that's
so we're
true,
good.
And you know why? I'm very, very busy.
You're very important.
Very important. I'm doing unpaid podcasts.
Please,
all
by
my
all
life.
Means, text me some so I can ignore them.
I shall. Well, the good thing about Clay was when we were on The Apprentice together, I noticed, now if anybody saw that season, there were maybe two people who kept their cool during the whole thing. One was retarded because they knew not to, I'm not even going to mention who that was, just like didn't care. And one was not.
No, I think I know who you're talking about. You don't have to know. I don't think even if it was a he.
Yes.
I don't think even he kept his cool. He got a little upset, said he was going to strangle somebody or crush him.
Okay.
Maybe he just said it about you behind your back.
Probably.
Never on camera.
Probably.
I know he said it about you.
Because there are people who appeared to not be stressed out, But I know for a fact, at least from what he says and how he acted, Clay was like a complete gentleman on the show. Yes, he snapped occasionally when someone was really begging for it.
I'm not going to lie. It was usually pretty strategic when I snapped on somebody.
See, Clay knew how to play the game. The Celebrity Apprentice is the kind of thing where if you take it seriously, like I did, you're totally effed. Because
I always assumed you were strategic.
No, I'm not that smart.
No, that's not. That's absolute bullshit. But second of all, you're just not a mean bitch normally. Like, your default setting for me is not that.
No.
But you would lose it.
Oh, I would lose it.
In ways that I assumed you have to be putting this on.
Well, here's the thing, Clay. During The Apprentice, I honestly felt so much stress that the one day off we had, which was every Sunday, I spent in bed so tired with a banging migraine, diarrhea, all the stress symptoms that we talked about before this show, before this segment. And I honestly was like, how am I going to stay on this show? Want to know what my main stress was? How do I not get kicked off before the dumb people get kicked off?
You know what, though? I think I might have told you this. When we walked in, you remember that first day that we, I mean, I wasn't stressed because I also didn't really take it very seriously.
I know.
Seriously.
See, that's smart on his part because it's not that serious, but I thought it was.
Most of the stress in our lives is in our heads, right?
Of course.
But the day we did that promo, I don't know if you remember the promo we did where they had a camera above us and they put us sort of in a triangle. And
yes.
I looked in the room that day and I said, okay, I know who the top four are going to be.
Wow.
And I was right except for one.
Really?
But I mean, I'm not trying to, this is not blowing smoke up yours or my asses, but if you watch that show, almost always the people who last the longest are the ones with the high Q scores.
Yeah.
The ones who are going to do pretty well for ratings. So I was, and the names that are, I assumed that, well, Arsenio Hall,
yes,
not gonna vote, they're going to keep him for ratings.
Of course.
I don't have any designs on me being famous or whatnot, but I knew that my name at least was somewhat more recognizable
than
other people's.
Definitely.
I knew yours was, and I assumed it was going to be you, me, Arsenio, and Debbie Gibson.
I thought it was going to be Debbie Gibson, too. And I'll tell you something. She was actually really bright. I think the problem with Debbie Gibson was she didn't bring that personality and that little sparkle like she actually has in real life. Like, when we'd be doing tasks and the camera's off, she was, like, super fun and, like, sparkly. And she'd snap occasionally and yell. And I'm like, bitch, do it when the fucking
she also,
camera's
well, that
on.
Was the thing. She wasn't willing to, you know, people get on these, all of this, and they're not willing to show their real selves.
Yes.
And I mean, I can be a bitch in real life.
Oh, I know. In a good way.
But I can be it in a bad way, too.
Yeah.
But I kind of knew, you know, our team, the men's team, when we were all separated by gender, were boring as hell.
They were boring as fuck. But guess what was great about the men's team? Super much smarter than the women's team.
Well, we were boring. We got along. And so we were able to succeed.
Right.
But it was getting to a place where it was so boring that I realized, shit, if we lose a task, who's going to go home? I may go home because I feel like I'm starting to become forgettable. So I got in a fight with Penn Jillette.
Good. Oh, that was a great one.
On purpose, because I knew that I could make him look bad.
Well, yeah.
I could make him look like he didn't care about other people, and I would look such like the hero, and I'd also be the one who gave him good TV, and that's why I did it on purpose.
That was smart.
And the only other time I lost it was on Diana, who, yes, deserved it quite a bit, but also because by that point, it was just you, me, and Diana, and I'd be damned if I was going to fight with you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what the great thing is? We were talking the other day at my play. Clay, it was so funny. The fight with Diana, he made me remember was... Now, this was Miss Universe, Diana Mendoza, and honestly... If it was now, after all my work on myself and spiritual journey, I definitely probably would apologize.
Still hate her.
No, I would apologize and say, poor thing, she was trying to do her best. What she didn't know was her limits. The problem is she didn't know that she couldn't sing or do puppetry or do any of the crazy stuff you're asked to do. And I don't know if she's smart or not because she didn't show what she actually had talent
There's
in.
Nothing worse than having nothing you're good at.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good point. And she probably has something she's good at, but didn't discover it
yet. Well,
now
that we
life.
Know that Donald Trump is president and what he values, we know what she very well may
oh
be good at.
Oh, my God. See,
in
this
order
is
to
like,
God, she should have won. Believe me, she was the best.
In order to win Miss Universe, who knows what tasks
oh my goodness.
She had to succeed.
That is only bitchy Queen Clay saying it, not sweet, nice Lisa. But Clay reminded me of why he fought with Diana, because I was like, I wonder, I can't remember what that was. Please tell the audience. Dude, it was so funny what she tried to tell you she knew more about than you did.
Well, she
described the task.
Well, we had a task where we had to perform both musically and a production kind of perform, a stage sort of presentation.
Mm-hmm.
It was only you, me, and Diana.
Right.
Half the task was entertaining someone on stage. Mm-hmm. Half the task was singing.
Yes.
You're an expert at the stage part. Mm-hmm. I think I'm pretty good at the singing part in the studio.
Yeah.
Diana had no, she's good at standing and waving, you know, and holding flowers. And
Jesus Christ.
And wearing a tiara. Oh my God, you're acting like you're
No, you're right. On The Apprentice, trust me, I was a gangster. I was like, fuck this cunt. And I was, the C word was fly, and you guys saw me.
Did I ever tell you? When I got home from that show, mm-hmm. it took me about, I never, when, back in the day when I first got off Idol, mm-hmm. I made my manager put a dollar in a jar every time he said the F word.
Yeah.
When I got home from Apprentice, it took me about 3 months to detox from saying the C word.
Oh, I know. I put it in everybody's head.
It was stuck in my head. I couldn't live without it.
It's the greatest word ever.
And
it's
as a gay man, don't like cunts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as a straight woman, I don't
can't
either.
Live without them either.
So she she took over as task manager,
right,
even though, you know, Trump says, who's going to be the task project manager? In every other experience we ever had, the group would huddle together, decide mm-hmm. who would be best for it. Not this time. He announces the task. He looks over at us and say, who's going to be project manager? Diana doesn't look at us. She raises her hand and says, I am Mr. Trump. And you and I, if I'm not mistaken, kind of looked at each other like, okay,
bitch is gonna fry.
And then we're in there. You're handling all the concept, the jokes, the whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm in there recording the song that mm-hmm. we had to write. And she's telling me, well, I think you should put a little more. Do you remember she said she wanted to pick the music style? And she didn't know any music styles except for Duran Duran, which is not a music style. And then she said, and then after the band, I'm not kidding. And then after the band played, we had to do a lesson. I said, okay, guys, play some sort of bebop, play 50s, mm-hmm. play a swing, play mm-hmm. something, mm-hmm. Calypso, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. After it, she settled on exactly what you and I thought it should be in the first place.
Right, right.
And then the band played it and she said, you know, I don't know, maybe add a little more pink.
That's
green.
Right.
Do you remember that?
And I said, oh, like the girl Pink, the singer? And no, she goes, no, the
or like
color.
Or green or yellow. She started adding colors. There is a, I don't know if you have GIFs on your phone that you
yes,
look at.
Yes.
If you search my name, there aren't many Clay Aiken GIFs, but there is one, and it's from that moment.
No!
Where I'm doing this. I'm in a chair just like, I want to kill her.
Oh my God. That was the one where I actually remember I was going to kill her. And I've never been in a physical fight, but I felt like I might. So they called Donald Trump Jr.
No.
Because at the time, Donald Trump Jr. was like sort of my kind of ally advisor. And I got him in a room. And I think they aired part of it where I was just like, you
yes,
got to tell that fucking cunt mm-hmm. how fucking
and
stupid
you were crying
she are.
Too.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. Oh, I
so
know.
You were doing. So you were seriously stressed out is what you're saying.
Dude, I was under more stress than I can even imagine. I remember being so stressed that when I went to the finale, the live finale months later, because mm-hmm. they act like it's all taped in the same
week,
but it's not. Months later, I go, I have to bring a book because I have to look like I'm busy so I don't have to talk to the people who stress me out because I'll fucking snap on camera. And the finale was the only episode where I kept my cool through the whole thing because I said, I got to just read. I got to not let their energy in. And I only talked. I said, afterwards, I remember calling my friend. I said hi to Clay, Penn, and like one, oh, D. Snyder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I go, they're the only ones I could fucking be bothered with.
And but, see, now that's funny because you were stressed and you didn't have anything. I had something to worry about that night. I wasn't stressed a bit.
He wasn't, and he wasn't stressed for most of the show.
Well, I thought I was going to win.
Yeah. You know, I really thought you were going to win too. I mean, you were really good.
I know.
Well, Clay, you're always, it's great though, because you've established a brand of
being a loser.
The runner up of America. People like an underdog. That's why people still go to see you and cheer you on Broadway.
Because they're like, I just want him to win once.
Yeah, yeah.
I need him to be successful one time.
Would you say though, you've won at life? Because that's what I think. I think these contests and all that are total bullshit. But at life, you kind of have your life down. You live part-time in New York, part-time in North Carolina. You ran for, what did you run for?
I
Senate?
I ran for Congress, came in second.
That's okay. That I'm glad you didn't get because your hair might have fallen out of stress for that. You got a nice head of hair, so you don't need to worry about that shit. But don't you think, and you got a kid, you got a good life, aren't you so glad you didn't win these other things? Can you imagine how crazy your life would have been?
I mean, had I one idol, I do think, I have said to people in the past that I think that losing, and I joke to you that, you know, it's because low expectations.
Right.
But I do think that that helped, certainly after I came in second on mm-hmm. Idol. There wasn't this expectation that my album was going to be incredible. There wasn't. And so that has helped. I mean, right. One at Life, sure. I'm not going to complain about anything. I'm not working in a factory third shift. There are a lot of people who have life worse than me.
Right.
But certainly there's still things that stress me out. I mean, no matter what it's been now, actually today, today that we were taping this, is 15 years to the day from my very first audition for Idol.
Get out! Day, yeah.
And so it's been 15 years. Damn, that's a long fucking time. But... And I don't even know what people say. Oh, what was your life like? How has your life changed? I don't even know. I hate to use the word famous, but I've been in this world longer than I was in the other one.
Right.
But it's been 15 years. And you know, your career, no matter how successful you are, is going to do these ebbs and flows and ups and downs.
Sure.
And for me, my very first single was the very first single in history to debut at number one.
No.
So my first thing that I ever did was the biggest thing I've ever done.
Holy 50 crap.
50 million people watched me on Idol. My first single came out. It was the first time anybody had ever started at the number one. Everything's going to be downhill from here. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So I have sort of had to learn as a coping mechanism, have had to learn to have lower expectations because I'm not going to be on a show that gets 50 million viewers again.
Right.
And I'm not going to... sing, do a concert tour, and sell out a stadium. I went to a rally, one of Trump's rallies, since we love talking about him.
Yeah.
I went to one of Trump's rallies in Wilkes-Barre for The View, because I do stuff for them some.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent me, and he was in, I can't remember the name of the arena, but it was in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and he had his rally. And there were a lot of people there.
Yeah.
But he gets up on stage, and he starts talking about it's the biggest crowd ever
well,
in this arena
is.
Of yeah. all time. And as he's talking, I take my cell phone, and I pan up to the top tier, which is completely, completely empty.
Of course.
And all I could think was Kelly Clarkson and I played the same arena and sold it out. So
give me that news.
but I'm not going to sing and sell out that arena again.
Right.
You know. Right. So I don't allow myself to get disappointed because certainly everything that I do is bigger than it would if I'd stayed my ass in Raleigh.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So
right.
So have I won at life? Certainly, because. Even though it will never be as big as it was initially.
Well, they always say with your career, you'll never stay on the top and you'll never stay on the bottom. If you just work, you're going to have some degree of income, some degree of success. And even if you decide to like sort of take a backseat and go, you know, really, is fame or money? I mean, money, you have to have money to live.
Right.
But who needs more, more, more all the time? Don't you feel a lot of the stress? Yeah. You end up like that and like hated and hate yourself. I mean... If I always say to myself, what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that could happen? You're still going to sing for a living. You're still going to have a good life. You still have a good kid. Hey, what are you going to do?
You know what? Honestly, what stress? Because I don't really sing for a living.
Oh, you don't?
I mean, oh my God, I feel like I'm in therapy with Lisa
Lampanelli.
No,
I'm really good at that.
Therapy with Lisa Lampanelli.
That's what they listen for.
I have made a decision when I ran, in part because, listen, it's hard. I knew that once I decided to run for Congress, I wasn't going to be able to just put a Democrat sign behind my name and then all this. I would lose half of people. And it was right. I lost a lot of people just because of that.
Right.
I said, you know what? If I'm going to agree to run, I'm going to have to be okay with the possibility of never being able to go back to singing again because I won't be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I have since discovered that I could certainly go back to doing it to some level. But, you know, I've lived, you know, when I was in elementary school, I was always a little singing kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started sixth grade, I didn't do choir.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be known for just that.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom realized I was a big loser when I didn't sing. So she pushed me into choir again.
Oh.
And then by the time I got into high school, I went to college. No one knew I could sing because I just always got tired of being pigeonholed.
Huh.
And so after the campaign was over, I just kind of got to a place where I thought, God, I really hate that nobody realizes I'm somewhat intelligent.
Yeah.
Everybody just thinks of me as that gay singer boy from Idol.
Right.
So I had made a decision. I'm going to step back and not sing and not do that stuff because... Mm-hmm. I kind of want people to not think of me as a one-trick pony.
Right, right.
It's very, very, very difficult, especially double-edged sword, when you're on a show with that many viewers.
Yeah.
It's impossible to get people to see you a different way. It's very difficult.
That re-education of the public is really hard.
Everyone has decided what you are,
yes.
And that's what you're going to have to stay.
If they only knew what you really had to offer, because honestly, On The Apprentice, Clay was the smartest one. He was definitely the one who stayed the coolest. And this guy can work a puppet like nobody's business. When I talk about many asses, I got to tell you, that's a stress reliever. We both have our puppets. I have my puppet. He has his. And boy, oh boy, this guy in Christian, what was it? Christian churches have.
My church, we had a puppet team, yeah.
And the thing about it is, you guys don't know how hard it is to work a puppet. We're talking about a real Henson puppet where you have the hands, you have the mouth.
Arms, yeah.
And the goddamn puppet has to have emotion. Well, Jesus Christ, you were so good at that. And I go, how can I live up to this standard? You, I think, have taught us a very important lesson today. When you are stressed out, you put your hand up something's ass and work its mouth. I feel I've discovered something here. If you had just done the campaign trail with your
puppet only,
do you know how many people you would have won back?
Listen, do you know how many politicians up there are really just puppets anyway?
That's true, too. Now, will you run for office again? Do you have goals? It's great to have a project, but if you're supposed to get it, you're going to. Is there anything you're really going after and really want to do?
No, I found out, I realized the hard way that in the periods in my life when I had a laser focus on what I wanted my goals to be, mm-hmm. I ended up missing out on so much other shit.
Wow.
So many other opportunities. I wanted an album I came off of Idol and I had people offering to, somebody early on, they realized I had a personality and then mm-hmm. they didn't later on. But, people talking to me about doing talk shows and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I always said no to them because we were gunning for a tour and an album. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself now, damn, if I had taken that talk show back when people watched them, I might still be on.
Yeah.
And I kind of just realized it's good, like you said, to either have a project and to have a general idea of where you want to be in a certain number of years or whatnot, but not necessarily a specific thing I want to be doing.
Right.
If I said I wanted to run for an office again, then, I think if I had that as my goal, I think I would be worried that I would make every decision in my life, say everything that I say. I wouldn't be doing this podcast if I was planning on running again.
Right.
Because I'd be saying fuck all the time and they'd use it against me.
And cunt, so, I want to hear one cunt before you leave.
Oh, I already said I couldn't stop saying But, if I were to run for office at any other point, you better believe they'd make this thing public.
Yeah.
And that might happen, but I'm not going to make a decision to run. Will I run again? I don't have any plans to. I wouldn't say no if it was right. But one of the things, my campaign, I knew going in that I was not going to win it.
Right.
I ran in a very, very, very red district that the President Obama lost by 20 points. Mm. It was just not a district that a Democrat was going to run in, but I didn't necessarily run to win. The lady who held the seat was just continuing to get elected without ever saying anything. She never had, and she was as dumb as a box of hair. She made right. Diana look like she should be.
Stephen Hawking.
Yes. she was just horrible and no one knew it. We did a debate, and she had always said no to her opponents. She would not debate them. She wouldn't do press. She wouldn't run ads because she knew if people saw her, they'd know how stupid she was.
Sure.
And so I said, I'm going to run because she's not going to be able to avoid me. Mm. There's going to be too much attention on the race. She can't say no to a debate. She didn't say no to a debate, and she was as dumb as shit. I mean, she said, this Obama-Aiken economy is killing us.
Okay, what?
She said it. Jon Stewart made fun of her for it.
That's a fantastic quote,
brilliant.
Though, by
I turned
way.
To her and I said, I think you need a new writer. She was just, and yes, she beat me, but within a month after that election, mm-hmm. she had drawn primary opponents for the next go around.
Wow.
Because Republicans, they didn't want to vote for me, but they didn't want her anymore.
Sure.
And she lost her primary last year. So
wow.
she's gone. And I say, I take a little bow.
Well, no, you absolutely got rid of somebody who wasn't doing any good. And
but because
she's actually my new Secretary of Labor.
I was surprised that I'm surprised, Mr. President, you didn't hire her. She was the very first person in the House, person in the House to endorse him, actually, too.
No
she was
kidding.
In office at the time. But, I ran for that reason. But since it was a district where there was really no chance that she was going to lose, it didn't get too nasty. She said some nasty things because she has low self-esteem. And I always thought, God, why did you say that? You didn't need to say that. You
right.
made yourself look bad. You were going
right.
to beat me anyway. But the thing is, the closer a contest is, the more likely that someone could win, the nastier it would be.
Right.
I mean,
well,
she
also,
wouldn't
also, the closer
up.
A contest is, the more likely you're going to lose and come in second. Because
I knew I was going to come in second that time I decided. But
well,
if I were to run for something else,
yeah.
then, when it came within 2 points, they'd start digging up They start making stuff up. And I just don't know if I've got the stomach for all that.
Well, I don't think you need that either. Yeah. Like, who needs that in their life?
If there was a reason, if there was something that I could bring to an office somewhere that I didn't think that anybody else could, then mm-hmm. yeah. But I don't, I mean, I think there are good people who are running. They aren't winning, but right. they're running.
But someday, but you know what's wild? You make a good point when you say, when you kind of go into something knowing you're probably not going to get that thing, you have more confidence, you're more yourself, you're more relaxed, you're mm-hmm. less stressed. Because during The Apprentice, honestly, I wish I'd remembered more often, like, I always knew I was never going to win because I wasn't famous enough. And I just go, no matter how hard I work, I just want to stay on before Teresa gets, if Teresa gets kicked off, if a Real Housewife gets kicked off after me, I'm going to feel like a dick.
Someday you got to tell that story, because yeah, that's my favorite yeah, that's story a great of what story. You did to oh, her.
Maybe we'll talk about
amazing.
That next week.
Yes, that was amazing.
But that's the whole thing. It's like, you kind of have more of a, Conan O'Brien did this phenomenal speech, commencement speech at Harvard one year. It's online. It's about how he was so relaxed going into his Conan audition because he was like, I'm not going to get this. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way I'm getting this. And then you get it.
The first audition I ever had, ever, mm-hmm. I was 17 years old. It was back in North Carolina. And the theater company there mm-hmm. was holding auditions. And they had put out a call for men 21 and up. Mm-hmm. I was 17. Mm-hmm. My music director at the time, who was kind of pushing me to get into that kind of performance. Mm-hmm. She said, you know what? This is the perfect thing for you to do. The director is a really big name. Mm-hmm. Go audition for it anyway, because you know you're not even eligible to get right. this. You can't, right. you're not allowed to get it, right. but you'll get to be in front of him and you won't be nervous. It'll give you audition practice. The first time I'd ever auditioned for anything. So I went in, I sang my song, and they cast me, even though I was too young. But I have every reason to believe it's because I wasn't nervous at all. There was no chance I could get it.
Exactly. The nerves, they see it. They just mm-hmm. see it coming. And the same thing with a date or anything else. Like, look, Clay, you clearly date way out of your league. I mean, come on.
Dating you would be out of my league, and you don't even have a penis.
That's right. Not even. That you know of.
Hey.
Caitlin Lampinelli.
That's the sequel to Stuffed.
Exactly. It's there you go. Stuffed with something else. Stiffed.
Hey. Tucked.
Yeah, tucked. Right. But yeah, isn't it funny when you're just you and you know you're enough, then you're fine.
Right. When I go on dates and I don't worry about them.
They always work out.
It's when I'm nervous, yeah.
Yeah, this would be a great thing for your opponent next time in the run. Say when I have dates, they always work out. Just say it. Go ahead.
She wants me to set her up for a joke. I see.
Yeah, I was just going to say something dirty.
So natural. Yeah, you know, when I have dates, they always work out.
I know he gets a good dick sucking. He does.
Oh my god.
A joke. I just wanted a nice clip for your opponent, so you're not winning that election.
Well,
so.
I'll give you a better one then. When I was running. Oh my god. I'm sure you get hate mail all the time.
Sure.
Oh my god. I got some of the best. Sometime I'll have to come back and just read all the hate mail I got.
Yes.
But I got one guy who emailed me and said, on my public Facebook page, you better suck some extra dick if you want to win. You better put in some dick sucking overtime or Renee's going to beat you. And I thought to myself, now that is a strategy I could get behind.
Yep. See, Clay, a gay man talking about getting behind another man. Fantastic. Oh my God. Clay Aiken, what have you said? You've said, a lot. Dick sucking came up.
Can we please not publish this?
No, we shan't. But honestly, I'm so glad that we became reacquainted. I'm so glad I finally returned
a text.
I know.
I'm so glad I came to your show, because it was really, God, I feel bad saying it as if though I'm surprised, but it was just really, I knew I would laugh my ass off, mm-hmm. but I didn't know that I would actually feel a little something too.
Because yeah.
I don't feel anything. Ever.
Yeah. You are really, very emotionally
stoic.
Closed off.
I am very stoic. So I was impressed by it. I'll plug it for you.
Thank you.
Because if you haven't seen Stuffed, I mean, you're opening this week.
Yes.
Definitely go make sure you see it, because it will entertain you and it'll surprise you too.
You're
a lot smarter than I thought you were.
Thank you. And yeah, our director was so thrilled that you had that, you liked it for that reason also, because our whole goal was to make it not just like a night of laughter.
And it is. Now, that's not pretend that it's not, you don't laugh plenty.
Oh, yeah.
But even when you, you have a very, very emotional story about part of your life mm-hmm, in the show. Mm-hmm. And even when you tell something that's kind of, I mean, a little sad, and the lights get dim and they're right on you and everything, you still figure out a way to make me laugh at the situation.
Absolutely.
Which is, you know, what you're good at anyway.
Thank you. Clay Aiken, my hero. It used to be Arsenio, but now it's not. No,
Finally won something. Yay! Her approval.
And if you do decide to run once again for anything, I will be your first lady and not that cunt, Melania.
She'll do my first ad. You better vote for this faggot.
There you go. There you go.
I'd say I'm so glad Ruben stuttered to cancel today.
Yeah. Hey! Seriously, Clay, thank you so much. We love you. And listen, people, we'll be back with the weekly weigh-in with that fat fuck Frank DeCaro to see if he has his shit together the way Clay does. Come back and listen to the weekly weigh-in with Frank DeCaro on Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Woo!
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Lisa Lampanelli. And you know what? Last night, I'm not even kidding you, I was backstage at my show, Stuffed, off-Broadway at the West Side Theater, and I was starving. It was between scenes. This is so funny. And I had literally 2 minutes, and I'm not exaggerating, 2 minutes to grab something to eat before I passed out. And we all know, yeah, you could grab a candy bar, you could grab a bagel, you could grab something stupid, and guess what? You're going to feel like crap afterwards and really feel like you're going to take a nap instead of get energized. So of course I grab something, it says coconut chocolate. I'm like, how bad can this be? The answer is no bad, all effing good. It was an RX bar, and this is basically what I live on. People think because we read these commercials that we have to pretend to like something. I don't have to pretend a damn thing with RX bars. They're whole food protein. Do you understand what that means? 100% whole ingredients are in this bar, and I feel great every time I eat one. I'll tell you why I know. Because inside there is no artificial color, no artificial flavor, no preservative, no fillers. There's egg whites for protein, dates, nuts. And because it has nuts and texture and dates that make it all stick together and it's not crumbling in your hand, and you feel like you've just eaten something good for you, because guess why? You have. And it's simple. I hate these bars with things on it that I can't pronounce. Someone told me once, do not eat anything if on the package you can't pronounce what's inside it. RX bars, I can even pronounce everything, and I'm not that smart. I can pronounce egg whites, I can pronounce dates, almonds, no BS. I don't know how they've done it, but they made it taste good. I taste cacao, that's a fancy word for chocolate. I taste the real fruit, spices. They have a sea salt one. Sea salt and chocolate, come on. I could cut these bars up, I'm not kidding you, pretend they're dessert and give them to my dumb family and friends. These are delicious, but what's even more important is they give me and other people energy. It's my go-to snack. Me, it's a go-to meal. If I shove one of these down my gullet, I'm not hungry for 2 hours. And I mean literally not physically hungry. So I use them for breakfast when I'm on the go. Snacks, I throw it in my bag. If I'm going on a plane, if I'm backstage, if I'm going, hey, I'm not going to lie to you and say if I'm going for a bike ride, I'll take it. I don't ride no fucking bike if I'm going for a hike. I don't do no fucking walking. No, but I'm going to do it every other time. I do not leave my house unless there's an RX bar in my bag. I listen to ads like this sometimes, and honestly, I crack up going, that bitch don't mean it. Trust me, I mean it. And besides chocolate coconut, 11 different flavors, so I'm never bored. There's a chocolate mint. I am obsessed with chocolate mint. I look at this thing and I go, am I eating dessert or am I eating something good for me? The answer to me is both. And I, Lisa Lampanelli, have a special offer for you, even though you don't deserve it. For 25% off your first order, go to rxbar.com/stuffed and enter promo code stuffed at checkout. 25% off your first order. You know how much that is? That's a fourth. That's 0.25. That's everything else I learned in math, okay? So again, for 25% off your first order, go to rxbar.com/stuffed and enter promo code stuffed at the checkout. Do it now. I was going to say you'll be glad you did, but that sounds so phony. But I'll be glad you did, because I'll go, oh, the assholes are finally listening to me.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Welcome back.
Hey, everybody. It's Lisa Lampanelli with the weekly weigh-in with Frank DeCaro. It is one of my favorite segments because I get to celebrate when he loses weight, berate when he does not, and when he gains, I get even more gangster and threaten our friendship.
And this is a big one because he's been up 4 weeks in a row. Oh,
Mike, you scorekeeping bitch. All right. We are now here with the weekly weigh-in with Frank DeCaro.
Ladies and gentlemen in the red corner, standing at 5 foot, who cares, weighing God knows how much, it's the weigh-in with Frank DeCaro.
Lisa, Mike. You bitch.
You, isn't yes. he? I wasn't scorekeeping. I thought you were at 150 pounds. That's what I thought.
209.3.
I'm
hanging from a keychain. What I'm doing.
That's what you are. So, no. I love how he said 209.3 in that Trump voice of his.
It's, believe me, 209.3, way too heavy.
Huge.
You need to play some golf.
Yes, huge. You're going to be huge. All right, so Frank, how's your week been? Tell us your weight, and I will either kill you or fucking celebrate you. Go!
Now, we decided last week
oh, Jesus.
That the new base rate
there we
was
go.
212.
Wait a minute.
We did.
Oh,
we
my God. It's always a preamble with this guy. Okay. Hold on. What did we decide?
We decided that 206 was absurd, that was after
yes,
a fast.
You're right.
In the hospital.
Yes,
and
I
we
do.
We decided that the base rate was going to be 212, and if it was less than 212, it was good, and it was.
Okay.
So we're good. We're happy about that. So, yes, I was 211.4.
Frank!
Which was good, 'cause that's really good.
Wait!
211.
You fat fuck. Okay, this is why I love me and not you, Frank. You yes. are like me in a way that you kind of are wheeling and dealing those little pounds and ounces. But do you realize gaining 2.4 pounds in a week is not good?
I do, but I didn't gain it since last week.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. You were 209.3 last week.
No, well, I was probably lying then. Now I'm telling you the truth.
What is the point of doing a weekly weigh-in if you lie about your freaking weight?
So,
busted.
So I got on the scale, and it was 211.4. That's right. The real thing.
All right.
I have to say, though, this is coming off of what was amounted to a staycation. Oh. And so, yeah, I had house guests for the last week and a half.
Wait a minute.
There was a lot
It was a chewcation.
Tell me this. Who came and stayed with you?
I had two foodie friends come back to back.
Who are they?
Did you eat both of them?
My friend Kim, I ate both of them. My friend Kim came and she said, I got us reservations at Nobu Malibu. So we went to Nobu Malibu out in Malibu, California.
Stop trying to impress me with your fanciness. I like a Cracker Barrel, not because the food's good, because they hate you gays.
And you know how many calories raw fish has.
Yeah, really? Oh, you must have really broken the bank. And who was your other friend enabling you to eat like this?
Our friend Paige came to visit, yours and my friend.
That fat cunt?
Yeah.
No, I love Paige. Here's the thing, Frank. I'm not mad at you, and I'll tell you why. Mike, you're going to disagree with me, mm-hmm. but when you have friends stay with you, you can't be the guy who's boring. You can't be the guy who says, I'm not going to Nobu. I'm not going to have fun with you. You have to eat your arugula, which I don't know why I said that, but I don't know why arugula is on my mind.
How many nights did he go to Nobu?
Yeah, how many nights did you eat that raw fish?
That was only one night. It was the goodbye In-N-Out burger that was really the
problem. Oh, okay. I get it. All right. Listen, Frank, we need a plan because I do not want you to go over your 212. I won't have it because he's right, Mike. He had said, I do remember this now. Last week, Frank and I and you, Mike, even had agreed upon that he was allowed to go to 212 because he lost from 317 pounds, 105 pounds, the subtraction on that, if I'm good at subtraction, which I am, is 212. Correct, Frank?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so I'm not going to shame you. I'm going to say to you, you're within your legal limit of 212. I should hope that you do not gain any more. People are going to say, hey, Lisa, you're being too soft on Frank. You know what? I'm not. Because I don't need you to stress out over it, because guess what? Stress causes weight gain, pimples, and diarrhea.
You know what else is soft on Frank? His belly.
See, Frank, Do you hear
I liked him so much. I remember saying, Lisa, he's cute. You shouldn't be so hard on him.
It's tough love.
I take it all back.
I do remember that, Frank. And look at who's your real friend, Lisa Lampanelli. I
Lisa
support
Lampanelli.
You. I love you. And I will say this. I think that if you stay 212 or under, I will be proud of you. A tear will come to my eye, and I will say, Frank, you're allowed to come and promote my show Stuffed for me for free. How does that sound?
I'll wear that sandwich board, and I will walk up and down Broadway and say, you must see Lisa Lampanelli's play, which I can't wait to see.
And which, by the way, you have got to not say the word sandwich, because now you're hungry. See, you always have to stop saying food things. And you know what? I just want to, you know, I love you, Frank, and see how supportive I am with the weight. I want to say one thing. I don't like when you say fancy shit and really mean other shit. Like, remember I told you never say the word lovely again because it's faggoty and I hate it?
Oh, yeah, you hate that.
He's like, oh, what a lovely friend. Say she's real cool or some shit like that. Stop being classy. I don't like it that you call Paige and Kim foodies. They're fucking obese and they like to eat. Stop saying I stayed with foodie friends. Say I stayed with friends. They came over. They wanted to eat their asses off. Don't couch a pig with a sow's ear. Okay, that makes no sense. But you know what I mean?
And yet it did. And yet in its own way, it made a lot of sense.
Right, so stop trying to
class. Hiking,
don't,
I have to say.
Well, you didn't hike enough that either one of you get lost a fucking 2.4. So here's what
it could have been worse. The way we were eating, it could have been worse.
All right. I'm not ashamed of you. I'm proud of you. Are you still fitting into your clothes?
I am, but I'm also, but the red light went off of, you have to take this seriously again. You can't say, oh, what's one little nosh here or there? It's like, no, it's serious. And I can't, my stress level goes through the roof on days when I have to talk to you because I know the mother confessor is going to tell me the unvarnished truth.
Well,
so that's what I get.
I'm a little varnished today, and I'll tell you why. Because I feel love.
Why?
Because I have love for you in my heart. I've been where you are. I think this is very difficult. It's hard when, I'm not going to call them foodies, these fat cunts, I'll call them, come and they push their food onto a weaker party, which is you. Because they, and they don't do it out of hate. They don't do it out of badness. They do it out of hunger and the fact that, hey, people show love through food. So you know what? I'm not mad at Paige, a little bit annoyed, but not mad at Kim, a little bit annoyed, but I'm not going to be mad at you because you're trying your best and you have the balls to not cancel on these phone calls every week and still do a shameless plug for Frank DiCaro show on social media, correct?
It's true.
Oh, Christ. Hold on. It's my real phone. Hold on.
Can't Parker get that?
Can you grab that Clay Aiken? Wait, Clay Aiken's answering my phone.
Wow.
Wait, she's answering my phone. Okay. Oh my God.
Hey, he's pretty good. Do you need an assistant?
I would give anything to call and get Clay Aiken.
Here,
on
I'll
phone.
I'll get this
call
phone.
The moment I hang up.
Here, well, here's what we're gonna do. That's okay. Here's what we're gonna do, Frank. I'm gonna put Clay back on to take my place and give you shit, and I'm gonna do this other phone call. So hold on, Clay is taking over. Don't go away,
I feel
Frank.
So much better,
okay,
man.
Shut up. You're both gay. Okay, go ahead, Clay, take over, Mike.
All right.
Rally around. I'll be right back.
Frank, you're going to have to take it. You're going to have to go to the bathroom or something before you do these calls in, you know?
I really am. I have to take, like, laxatives or something. Clay, is she not terrifying? But she's in a good way.
Oh, Lord, I'm not
terrifying.
Afraid of her.
Let's be honest.
I will beat her ass. I'm not afraid of her. She's slightly terrifying, but, you know, her heart's in a good place, right? I just think you need to tell her next time, if you happen to go up, if your weight goes up next week, just tell her it's muscle. Tell her you added muscle, and that's why you're gaining.
It's going down next week. No, I didn't think I could stay where I was, but I have been eating. I've been stress eating, and I've been boredom eating, and I've been staycation eating, and now everybody's gone. Things are falling back into place that has been out of place for a week. And so it's like, all right, back to the gym. Back to seeing your feet, back to everything.
Well, our topic today, our topic is stress. So what were you stressed about?
I was stressed about the fact that there was I had nothing to do between our phone calls with Lisa once a week. Okay.
Understood. I have the same
freelancer's, thing. Every freelancer's stress moment. It's like, what do you do? I was waiting on everything to come to fruition. I was waiting for my editor to get back to me. I was waiting for an agent to get back to me. All that stuff that you sit around and go, what can you do today? Well, nothing, you know. And so I was having that kind of week. And then, thank heaven, my friends came. So it was like, good, I am on vacation.
And so when that happens, that you reach for something to eat, is that the issue?
Clay, I reach for something to eat if I'm bored. I reach for something to eat if I'm happy. I reach for something to eat if I'm, stressed out. And so I've been learning to not do that. But then when you have a lot of stuff come together, you fall off the wagon a little teeny bit. And everyone has said to me who watched, they're like, compared to the way you used to eat, which Lisa says, like, you have 9 rectums. The way I used to eat was way worse than even me bad now. So but it was a lot of like, oh, what's one more bite? And that's the problem. And that's what was making me. So that was helping my, not helping my stress either.
You've seen Lisa's show, yes?
Oh, he opens for Lisa.
I live in it. Open for Lisa.
Oh, wait, so her
stand-up.
You've seen Stuffed. Right. Have you seen Stuffed?
No, he hasn't, right?
Oh, I saw the original version of Stuffed, not the new version, but I can't wait. I saw pictures of you on Instagram looking fabulous, and your hair looks great.
Thank you. Well, I decided to go gray before to make it look like it was my decision instead of God's, although it was not my decision. I thought that show talks about this. It's a yo-yo thing for a lot of people. They have to go, and I love how in her show, she doesn't just talk about people who have trouble losing weight, but she's talking about people who have trouble gaining weight and people who are happy with where they are, you know, and they're
aliens. Lisa and I were never the happy where we were weight people. We were always like, Jesus, we're fat. So we picked on each other and picked on ourselves even worse. So there was that. But she's been a huge help and it's been great. But she said to me one day, and I don't know if she'll be mad, but I'm telling you, we won't come.
She can't hear it. It's okay. She never listens to her own podcast.
I don't blame her. Have you heard it? I feel the same way. I'm kidding. I love her. She said to me one day, she said, we're going to really have to deal with this for the rest of our friggin' lives. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, we are. And for her to admit that, having had so much success with her weight loss and keeping it off, it was a very sobering moment. But it really is something that everyone who diets, who has a food problem or a food addiction, we've had to realize it's like, yeah, this isn't like, oh, I'm on a temporary diet. It's like, no, I have to learn how to live a new way and deal with stress in a new way. And Lisa's inspiring. When someone that powerful can admit to having a weak moment, I found that very encouraging. So Frank that's lost, why when I do tell her the truth.
Frank lost, how much did you lose, 110?
Well, at one point, I guess it was 110, but 110. Now it's 105. No, anyway, it was about 110 ultimately. But no,
damn,
105 was where amazing. I've been staying for a good 6 to 8 months. I've been kind of just at the same weight, and then when I went, I was in the hospital and I lost like 5 more pounds, and that's the part that came back, unfortunately. But but it feels really good. It's exciting to not be a triple extra large anymore and to be down to a single extra large, you know, which some people are say, God, you're still fucking fat. But it's nice to be it's nice to be a more average size.
That's a dramatic drop too, and it helps your health obviously also.
Well, yeah, I don't care about that so much as I care about...
You don't care about the health. You don't care about how much your heart is working. But as long as you look good.
Yeah. Frank's very deep about his shallowness.
The fact that I can see the designer shoes is all I really care about.
Now, Clay, you never had a weight problem, obviously, right? I don't really care about that.
You know what?
No, I do care.
I'm a gay man, so of course I have a weight problem.
Well,
even though I'm not fat...
You're dysmorphic, but you know...
I think I am. That's just sort of what happens when you're gay. Okay, yeah.
Well, now... Go ahead, Frank.
No, Clay, I was going to say, I always quote that line. There's that play, Love, Valor, Compassion, where he says, a 36 waist is big for a ballerina. For a gay man, it's a tragedy.
Right.
And I always love that line. It's like, yeah, there's pressure. I think after women, gay men have the biggest
you think it wait you think after women I'm gonna say I think it's we have it. I mean, there are lots of things we don't have worse than women, but when it comes to body image issues, I think gay men have it worse because straight women stress themselves out. I don't think straight guys are as upset or bothered or as concerned with the body image of a woman or the way a woman looks. I mean, certainly they care.
Well, and a lot of straight guys like bigger women. I don't think there's as many gay guys who like bigger
But gay guys, we know what we're attracted to, and therefore we want to look like what we're attracted to.
Right.
Straight women don't want to look like what they are physically attracted to, right?
Right.
So they're not, I mean, so we're getting it from both ends, no pun intended. <Hey, no.
laughs> If we're lucky, we're getting it. But not always. No, but it's true. I think there's tremendous pressure, and because we're guys, we're even more horrible to each other. And to
yes,
guys are because we're as much as I love men, we're awful,
horrible,
and we're mean. Mm. But
women are terrible too.
I have to say, it is interesting. The only thing is that's upsetting is it's not exactly like everybody knows I'm married and happily so, but it's not like I'm fending off anybody now that I lost 110 pounds. It's not like, you know, oh, you know, no one's running around going, ooh, baby. It's still like, whatever. But you know what? But I like me better, which I guess is the ultimate. So I would now date me. So that's probably the
important thing. Key. That is the key for every gay man that we need to get to. I'm not sure I'm there yet.
Well, Frank likes you.
Well, and it, so. But all that hair, I'm telling you, I saw that photo. I had hair envy.
Well, you're married, damn it.
No, but I still would like hair on my head.
I was about to say, are you envious of the color or the presence?
The presence thereof. Yeah, just anything going on top would be lovely. But you know what?
Well, now I'm going to listen every week now. I've just gotten into listening to podcasts. Show. I haven't listened to podcasts very much at all. And I'm so old. I had not until about 6 months ago understood that, well, now we've started off with radio and then we moved to television. We advanced to computers and now we've gone back to listening to radio again, but you can do it on demand. So now I listen to podcasts and I'm going to listen now specifically to hear your weigh-ins, Frank. No pressure.
Yeah. I was going to say, and what I particularly like is that Lisa Lampanelli is such a good podcast host, she can leave in the middle of her show.
I know.
Isn't that good? And just leave it.
And she's doing another radio show in the other room.
And she's sitting on the toilet for it, too. She's a very multitasker.
So, all right, well, on topic, what do you do to get rid of stress, Frank? We were talking about things that cause stress and ways to relieve stress. Do you have a way to... The Maharishi.
That's not eating?
Yeah, the Maharishi Lampanelli gave us some of her tips.
Well, it used to be eating, and now I find I'm indulging interests, other one good and one bad. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll admit to both, and Lisa would be glad that I'm telling the truth. The good one is I've been reading more than I've read in years. I'm always reading something. And so. I'm big on
the menu at Nobu, obviously.
Hey!
The menu at Nobu, thank you. I'm so sorry I said you were attractive. I am because once you open that mouth, it's just.
You're not the first person to say that.
And what's the other one? Please don't say masturbating.
And no, so anyway, reading's been great. Showbiz memoirs, not so much menus, but memoir. And loving it. But the other is I've been shopping.
Are the two fags and that's been talking shit about me?
No, he actually back. Even said something nice, and I'm taking it back.
Oh, my God. Frank, are you still there?
Yes, dear. Yes, we said you were such a good host for a podcast that you can leave in the middle, and it doesn't matter.
It's true. Really she's good. So indispensable. Listen, Frank, I had a very important call to a very minor radio station to promote stuff. So... I want to leave you on this note and say, I ban you from saying foodie ever again. Are you into that?
No foodie, no lovely.
Thank you. And no,
no love. Nothing that ends in E, actually.
Actually, just, yes.
If it ends on E, it's bad.
Okay. Right. No, and so if you ever say she's a lovely foodie, then you're banned from my life. Got it?
I hope I don't goof.
I don't. Okay. Me too. And I want to say this. We are now setting your highest weight at 212, and that's what you're sticking to. Is that what we're sticking
that's
to?
That's what I'm sticking to. That's okay. What we're sticking
Mike,
to.
Mike, write it down right now, because I'm not believing that we know any of...
I'm going to put 212.
Okay. Did you get back friends with Mike while I was away, or is he still on the outs? Are you still hating Mike?
Lisa, he threw shade again. He
oh,
said,
no!
I said I was reading. I said I was reading a lot of memoir, and he said menus, like menus.
Oh, my
said,
God. You know, so can I tell you, though, you got to admit the guy's kind of quick.
He's very funny. I said, I'm never defending his looks again. Never. No. You want to call him anything, Lisa? Knock yourself
I've gone way downhill since you've seen me last. Anyway,
yeah, it's really bad. What? Give Frank the fart noise, just so I know how to punctuate every time he gains weight. Go ahead. Okay, here we go. Let me hear. This is a Frank DeCaro fart. See, it's that little tiny squeezed out fart that a foodie stuck in your asshole. You hear me? All right.
That foodie fart was lovely, Lisa.
It was.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to forgive that because it was for a laugh, and I get it. No, but seriously, Frank, I love you. Where can they find you on social? Shameless plug.
At Frank DeCaro Show on all social media platforms.
And by the way, people, don't give Frank shit for gaining weight. He's going to lose it because he doesn't have those two cunts in his house anymore trying to make him gain weight so they feel better about himself. That's what happens. They want you to be fat too. Who wants you to be thin? Your real friends. Mike Moore. Okay, not Mike. He wants you to gain so he can say funny things. I want you to be healthy and in control. So this week, the goal is to stay under 212. You are going to call us next week triumphantly, and you're not going to have diarrhea at the idea of calling in. Am I right?
Everything you've said is true, Lisa Lampanelli.
Thank you. And I love you, Frank. I'll talk to you this week. I got major news for you. We got to talk. I love you, and I'll see you next week. Say you're
love
sorry.
You guys right
say
back,
you're
thanks.
Sorry, Mike.
I'm sorry.
He's not really sorry. We're going to talk shit when you hang up. Okay. I love you, Frank. I'll talk to you later, pal.
Love you too. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, bye, babe.
Listen, I know we're running late, but there was a big actually announcement while you were away. We got a call. Feral Audio says that you're out and Clay's in.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame them. You know what? I was in the other room doing my call to my minor radio friend, and I said, this fucking Aiken, he steps in shit. The guy comes over, freaking takes a freaking Uber over to the house, a Lyft, if you will. And he suddenly has a show.
Yeah, boom.
This Clay has planned nothing in his life except sticking his hand up a puppet's ass. And by that, I mean sex.
It's ironic. He's the second host of this.
Yeah. Very, you know what? The guy is consistent, if nothing else. Mike.
Yes.
What have we learned today? We've learned that Frank is consistently gaining weight, yet in denial, yet I'm helping him.
Mm-hmm.
Because 212, you've written it down, and we are sticking to that. Yes. Out of kindness, yet meanness also.
Right. We've learned you have learned the key to beating stress.
Beating stress to me. If as your takeaway today, people, have a plan, take action, do something. And honestly, don't believe those people who say give it up to the universe. Don't just visualize the shit. But once you've done all you can, then you have to give up the results. Because whatever result happens, it's what's supposed to happen. And we have learned about dick sucking overtime. We've learned that if Clay had sucked more dicks, he wouldn't have won that election, but a lot more guys would have been thoroughly disappointed. Because yeah. I'm imagining Clay is not good at dick sucking, but that will be our next week's topic.
Yeah.
Is Clay Aiken good at sucking dick? You know what we're going to call this? Remember they did that Richard Simmons podcast, Find Richard Simmons?
Right, right.
We're going to do Clay Aiken sucks a dick every week. Yeah. How would that sound?
We could take celebrities, how he would do it. We would theorize how he would do it with each celebrity. Yeah.
This is fantastic. Yeah. See how I didn't aim to have a dick sucking podcast? But now I do. See, the universe gave me Clay Aiken's dick sucking overtime.
And it closes the door, it opens a zipper.
It does. It does indeed. Now, Mike, tell the people where they can find you.
Well, I am on the social of the medias,
yes.
Mike Morse at Facebook, and on Twitter, Mike Morse Says at Twitter.
And what is your website?
Oh, it's Write Funny. If you want to see things I've written that are funny,
WRITE for you fucking idiots who didn't vote for Clay.
Right, right. funny.net.
Yes.
And I want to thank Lauren and Ken from Puffin Dog Music for the tunes you're hearing on these podcasts.
Which, by the way, I was told by my producer of my play, Stuffed, that this is fantastic music.
Yeah.
I said, sure, you have shitty taste. You're my producer. Go ahead. No, it's good music.
And what about that Anthony from 5-Ohm Productions?
Let me tell you about that fucking asshole.
Go ahead.
He is a harasser. He emails me at least twice a week and says, what are you doing? What's your title and description? What's your title? Listen, asshole, I'll get it to you when I get it to you, because that's how Lisa Lampanelli rolls. But we'll thank him anyway.
All right,
Anthony,
thank him.
This asshole from Five Home. I can't with him. We're taking credit for my fucking talent. Go ahead.
And then just check out more shows like this, or not as good, but...
Of course not.
Believe me, this is the best. at feralaudio.com.
Absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now, for me... Don't find me on social media. Sure, I'm there. Lisa Lampanelli, at mention Lisa Lampanelli, at your mother's cunt. That's really not, but I do like your mother's cunt. Not your mother's cunt, Mike.
It was fine. I was only in there once.
I know. But. Well, you know, you were deprived. But honestly, you can find me on social media. I may say some things. I may not. And you know what? I may answer you, but I probably won't because I'm famous and you're not. Just bathe in the beauty that is Lisa Lampanelli's life, at Lisa Lampanelli. And to see my play Stuffed, which has a glowing, glowing recommendation from Clay Aiken. And trust me, he's a little bitchy queen and he don't like anything. So if that bitch says he likes it, he does. Stuffplay.com for tickets. It's so good. It's in New York. It's at the West Side. We're changing people's lives and making them laugh too.
Yes.
Yes. And you know what? If you're lucky, we'll see you next week on the former podcast known as Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli, now known as Clay Aiken Dick Sucking Overtime with Lisa Lampanelli. See you next week, folks.
Did you get stuffed? She's the queen of mean. She can't be tamed. Larger than life with a tiny frame. She's raw as hell. She's hot. She's rough. She's Lisa Lampanelli, and you just got stuffed.